Wednesday, February 11th, 2015, GNSO Public Council Meeting in Caning. The event will run from 1300 to 1500 local time.
Hi everyone, it's 1 o'clock. We'll begin very shortly. I just would. Okay, so if I could call the meeting to order, please, if everyone could please join us at the table now. Okay. Have we got a recording running? Thank you. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the GNSO Council public meeting here in Singapore, Wednesday, 11th of February. We'll, as usual, we will start with a few administrative matters and then proceed with the body of the meeting. So, Glenn, if you could take us through a roll call first, and then we'll get on with the rest of the agenda.
I'll do that, Jonathan. Brett Fawcett. Donna Austin.
Present.
Jonathan Robinson.
Present.
James Bladel.
Here.
Joef Kieran.
Here.
Volker Greimann.
Present.
Thomas Rickard.
Present.
Phil Corwin. Not yet here. Susan Kawaguchi.
Here.
Brian Winterfeld.
Present.
Heather Forrest.
Present.
Osvaldo Novo is absent, and Wolf Ulrich Knoben is the alternate for Osvaldo in the ISPs.
I'm here.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. Tony Holmes.
Present.
Edward Morris.
Present.
Amael Sadar.
Present.
David Cake.
Present.
Marilia Maciel.
Present.
Avery Doria.
I'm here, thank you.
Stephanie Perrin.
Present.
Daniel Reed.
Present.
Carlos Gutierrez.
Present.
Cheryl Langdonor,
present.
Who is the CNA, the ALAC liaison. Patrick Miles is unfortunately absent. He is the CCNSO liaison. Mason Cole, who is our GAC, GNSO liaison to the GAC.
Present.
Thank you, Mason. Thank you, Jonathan. Over to you.
Thanks, Glenn. Welcome again, everyone. Councillors and others who've joined us here today. I should highlight that this is a public meeting and intended, therefore, to provide the opportunity for anyone else. We have a microphone up at the front and would welcome any contributions during the course of the meeting and indeed under the any other business item at the end. So we haven't specifically specified an open mic session, but you are welcome to contribute to the meeting at any point during the course. Just make yourself known by coming up to the microphone at the front of the room, and we will work you into the queue. So I was going to seek a statement of interest updates. I see we don't have Phil Corwin here. Does anyone have a way of contacting Phil directly just in case something's happened? Wondered if anyone had the opportunity to send him a text message or something. Susan's going to email him. Thanks, Brian. Okay, thanks, Joef. All right, so we will, in any event, call for statement of interest updates and note that Phil has published a statement of interest.
which I think was is new. Would anyone else like to make an update to their statement of interest? Anything to record? Thank you. We've caught up on the minutes from the previous council meeting, so you'll note that we have we've posted the minutes for 11th December, 15th of January, and 29th of January. So hopefully those of you that would like to see them, and I'm apologies that some of those were delayed in getting posted. So in terms of reviewing, the next item is to review the... Oh, just to make sure councillors are aware, there is an Adobe Connect room. David will keep an eye out for hands up in that room. And so if you do have... it's probably worth keeping that room open. So if you'd like to do that, please go ahead. Just bear with me one moment while I pull up the action list electronically. All right, sorry for that. Normally I have a printout of the action list that I've marked up already, so I'm going to work off an electronic version. So just to work through this, I'm just going to scan through it quickly. If anyone has any points they'd like to raise, please make it known. There was talk of making a public statement, and the opportunity may have passed on the IANA stewardship transition proposal. Can I ask that we bring that up again during the discussion on that particular item? Avery and Tony, did anything happen on that? I mean, I don't recall that anything got developed on that. Is it not ringing a bell? There was talk of drafting a statement on the work of the CWG, applauding the work done, and offering some kind of public statement. Nothing came of that. Okay, let's have a look back at that in the interim, and then let's see if that still makes sense, and we can come back to that. Yeah, just note Phil Corwin is here, Glenn, so if you could mark Phil present from now. And Phil, we did record that you had posted a statement of interest update. I'm not sure if there's anything you'd like to say about that, but I mean, it is noted.
Just thank you, and I'm delighted to be on council, and my apologies for being late. I just had the wrong room, but I'm here now.
Thanks, Phil. Happens to all of us in this situation. So I think there's a couple of points that are worth noting that out of the weekend sessions, which Marika has kindly tracked and added to the agenda, and I think what we'll do is we will probably pick these up. One item is the ICANN meeting strategy. The question is whether we respond to the proposed implementation. We heard of the implementation. And I think that is something we'll need to do some work on, thinking about how we fit the council's work into the new meeting strategy. Is anyone particularly interested to put their name forward for that now, if anyone's been thinking about that? Or All right.
Jonathan, what's the action item you're asking for?
The item is that essentially the we heard from the meetings heard of the implementation plan for the new meeting from that arise out of the new meetings strategy working group. And the idea was that in particular meeting B is now a four-day meeting, and that impacts, it's probably worth looking at all three meetings, but certainly meeting B is the four-day meeting. And I think what happened was an example of some work that's gone through in all of the busyness. We've tracked it going through, and when we finally saw the implementation plan, it sort of hits home that actually this is potentially quite a sizable impact for the council in the sense that we typically run our weekend GNSO sessions, and those aren't available in that new format. It's a Monday to Thursday format and doesn't permit for the council sessions. James?
So, James speaking for the transcript. So, are we assuming that those weekends will not be open to us for any of the three meeting structures? Is that...
No, correct? On the contrary. I mean, I'm actually not 100% familiar with the implementation plan, but meeting B specifically is a four-day meeting. I believe, maybe someone can help me here, but I believe the other two are still the long meeting format. Yeah.
Well, I guess as the council, are we just starting from the?
You got a queue as well.
Starting from the presumption that we want to continue to have weekend sessions at all three meetings throughout the year, if we can.
If we were to do that, that would require we'd have to do something there. And so it's really, I think we can discuss it a little now, and I'm sure we have the time to do so. But primarily, I think I was looking for someone to pick this up and start to first of all probably go through the different meetings and then highlight where issues arise. And if it is only on meeting B, it's really looking for the impact and then proposing a solution. Yoav? Orca was keeping a cue for me, and I think he's got Tony ahead of you, Yoav. Sorry. So Tony first.
Well, at the time, I was just seeking clarity of exactly what you were asking for, nothing more than that. But happy to assist with helping to look at that.
I took a look at that program, and the first week, the first meeting is just as it's we have now. Second is 4 days, and the last one actually has another day. It's 8 days. So we have two of them have the weekends. My suggestion is that to do a different format in the second meeting, maybe a 1 day GNSO that includes the GNSO council meeting. So instead of having, because it's really short, 4 days, it's much shorter than what we have now, so we need to have a different format.
My thought on this is that in the upcoming months, years, our workload is probably not going to decrease. The contrary is probably the fact. And I do not see how we as a council would be able to reduce the time that we spend and continue to function as an effective policy-making machine with the GNSO. Therefore, I would propose that we try to impress the urgency upon the meeting planning staff that 2 days ahead of the meeting, be it the weekend or be it other days, depending on where the 4 days fall out, be reserved for us so that the 4 day meeting would be a 6 day meeting for us.
Okay, so we've got Brett, Phil, and James. As I say, I mean, it's no harm to have a brief discussion about this, but essentially the idea was for someone to pick it up and lead the discussion. This is from 2016 on, so right now it's a little way off when this has to be dealt with, so it's not an urgent matter. All right, so Brett.
I'm happy to work with Tony on this, and we'll put my name forward since I have, a reasonably strong opinion that we ought to try to work within the days that we've been given. I understood from Nick when he was presenting to us that the four-day meeting actually contemplated us working in that period. So, I mean, I would like to see if we can force ourselves to be disciplined and fit within the days allocated rather than expand this. Volker's shaking his head, so maybe Volker should be on the committee too, and we can debate this inside the whatever team we put together.
Phil?
Yes, thank you. Phil, for the record. There was some discussion of this during the business constituency meeting yesterday, and one of the members raised that we're going to need to check on the issues of both travel funding and actual availability of entry to meeting facilities if we're contemplating still meeting before the official start of the four-day meeting. So we have some time to check on that, but we need to fully understand what the resources are available in terms of finance and meeting facilities and what's expected in this new context.
Agreed. James?
So I was just going to think something along the lines of what Brett was saying, which is that this short meeting seems to be the issue, which is going to be 1 year from this summer 2016. So we have some time. I'd like to volunteer for that. I do note that the purpose and the focus of that four-day meeting is policy and policy development. So I'm hoping that, like what Brett was saying, that we can somehow fit our existing sessions into that. But I think if that's not possible, then we may have to work outside of it. But I'm happy to volunteer for that. It's Tony, Brett, and I don't know if we're keeping a list of who's all throwing their hat in, but I'm fine to help with that as well.
Just a very practical point. You're right. It's a year off, so we've got lots of time. But one of the first things you should think about is really to Phil's point. I mean, I would say two things. In reaction to Phil's point, you can see how this might, I would anticipate that there might be quite a hard line on this, because what we'll see is the council saying, well, we should meet on the weekend, and then the business constituency will say, well, we should meet on the weekend. And before you know it, everyone's got a specific reason. So I'd imagine, I would guess, with that thinking in mind, there'll be quite a hard line on it. But to the extent that anyone thinks that they would like to do something different, be thinking about the budget year and the financing part of it, because if you're going to be wanting to motivate for financing, you'll need to be aware of the budget cycle. Tony?
Thanks, Jonathan. It might be worthwhile if Volker does join us, because it sounds as though Brett and James and myself are all starting from the same point, which is to try and work within the time frame that was set. But I'm keen to participate in this because I've got some real concerns on the impact on constituencies, how they interact with the policy work as well. The four-day meeting has been said to focus on policy. I believe there was also an assumption that because it would be focused on policy, the overall size of the meeting would be smaller, as well as for a shorter time, which would enable ICANN to reach out to other communities where it's difficult to host meetings of this size now. One of the concerns I have is that, speaking with a few people in the corridor, they've indicated that for them, the thought of coming to a four-day ICANN meeting is far more attractive and easier to get into than a longer meeting. That doesn't fit very well with the thought that it's going to be a smaller meeting in terms of attendance. So I think we need to work through, see how it impacts us in particular, but then feed that into some larger debate as well, and probably the earlier we do that, the better.
That was exactly what I was thinking. I would think that group needs to not only think about, you know, not be too internally focused. I think it might need some liaison with the other GNSO groups, because that will help determine, you know, so that it's possible that we can coordinate a GNSO position on this and start to shape what the GNSO's meetings might look like, rather than just thinking about it purely from a council, and we may be able to help lead that discussion. Got Avery next, and then Volker.
Thank you. Avery speaking. I really very much recommend, and I'm not volunteering to get involved, but I really want to recommend that we try it before It almost strikes me as the people that always put a lot of salt on their food before they've ever tasted it. I think that we should try it. What I think we should also do is look at it experimentally and look at it so that after it's done, you know, a certain amount of evaluation is done to see if it did work or not. But I think deciding that it won't work before we've ever tried to make it work is... prevents it ever working. So I don't think that's a good idea, and I'd recommend we not do that.
So in essence, there's a component of that input says, think for our group, this little group, to think how it could work rather than whether it will work.
To evaluate after whether it did.
Yeah, and clearly, and post evaluation as well. Volker, last word.
Okay, that wasn't my intention, but thank you. Volker Greimer speaking for the record. Just to illuminate a little bit of my thinking, of the four-day meeting, the first day is outreach. We could probably take that and do our own stuff. The second day is intra-community discussions, which will probably be the same as stakeholder day in some form, i.e. the first, different constituency debating of how to proceed themselves. I don't see ourselves stealing any time away from that. Maybe possible. If possible, we should try to do that. The second day is inter-constituency dialogue, i.e. working groups, policy making, and as many of us are in working groups and doubling up in various functions, I do not think that we would be able to have both cakes and eat them at the same time, i.e. participate in the policy-making progress and be on the council and do the council work. I see difficulties using those 2 days. And the last day, again, it's a possibility that we add something there, but I see it as difficult. So I'm just trying to look at this from a realistic perspective, as shortening our discussions always seems to... come at the cost of transparency.
Okay, thanks. That's a pretty robust and comprehensive discussion for an action item to form a group, but that's useful to have had that discussion. I think it sets the group up pretty well to start doing some work. So that's great. Thank you very much. So with that, we will close the review of the action items and the project list, given that the other items come up in the main agenda. Any other comments on the action item or project list before I do draw a line? Okay. There's nothing under item 3, the consent agenda. And the next item is a discussion on the cross-community working group to develop a transition proposal. Now, as you know, this is an item that has a significant place on the agenda throughout this meeting, and indeed the cross-community working group has a meeting this afternoon at 5:15 local time. So in my mind, this was on the agenda as an opportunity to take a brief update and just check if there are any issues or questions arising from the discussions that took place in the group that won't be covered, that you'd like to raise. In particular, I wouldn't mind some feedback from anyone on, as you know, there was a discussion document produced and circulated to the meeting, and that discussion document posed a set of questions. So I think it might be quite helpful to know and understand how the different GNSO groups have dealt with that, and I certainly think that it would be great to get that feedback so that we can know that going into the working group and the Q&A session this afternoon. So it'd be great to get some hands up to hear how that went on in the registrars, registries, non-commercial, if any of the commercial stakeholder group constituencies discussed it, and what, if any, outcomes there were from that. Donna, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Donna Austin. So just an update from the registry stakeholder group. We had a discussion about the transition process yesterday. where we went into some detail about where we are in the process, the two options that are on the table at the moment. And then later on in the day, we had a discussion around the questions that were in the discussion paper. I think we only got through the first four, and I have to go through the transcript and do some kind of summary of where we got to on that. So I guess that's just a brief update of where we got to.
It's helpful, and just to highlight the purpose, it's twofold, really. One is to get answers to try and produce output from those questions from the groups to aid the work of the working group. And the second is to actively ensure that as far as possible, not only through the members of the group, but through the councillors who will ultimately have to bring the votes to support the proposal or not, that's produced in the GNSO. So it's in effect a tool for engaging the different groups to discuss and deal with it. So any other updates from work that's gone on in the different groups or constituencies? Phil, go ahead.
Just move this over a touch. Yeah, Phil Corwin for the record. We had some extensive discussion on this in the business constituency yesterday. We had filed a comment during the original comment period. We were one of the groups that favored what's called the internal solution. As we become more familiar and heard the briefing from Greg Chatan to the CSG group with the four different variations, two external, two internal, we're learning that they're all complex, and to some extent they all have similar elements, but we're kind of waiting because the working group is waiting for legal assistance. They're going to be producing a revised document and putting it out for public comment again, so we're kind of still in our position but waiting to see what the next version is before we review our own position and see if we want to stay with that or modify it somewhat.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan Vavori, Woman speaking. Well, we in the ISP constituency, we are in a similar situation as Phil mentioned. In the BC, we had almost half of the time of the discussion devoted to that item. And about two things we were discussing. The one was the question list. So we have tried well to frame that, so we saw that some of them were relatively general questions. And what we are going to do is to write it down and to come back with in a written form to with answers with viewpoints from our constituency with regard to those questions. The other point was we tried to accommodate the level of understanding the four models, or the two part of the model, the external and the internal, and the flavors of them. And then the question was, what shall be in the future? How these groups, the CWG, is going to handle this in the future? And we were of the opinion that it should be a way to come up with some criteria against which these models have to be checked, or in order to come back from our constituency point with answers. So this is a task we took internally in our constituency to try to come up with a list of criteria we, from our point of view, see as necessary to be checked against those models in order to find a conclusion, or to come closer to a conclusion. So that's what we have on our list. Thank you.
So a kind of evaluation matrix. I think it'd be helpful if you shared that once you are in a position, if you feel in a position to do so, it may be of use to others. I mean, for me, this is helpful because it indicates there's clearly discussion going on in the groups. One thing that that was intended by that was that it was a stimulation to discussion, that input was given. There's no reason why it shouldn't be written. In fact, it's probably very helpful if it's written. But as you seem to indicate in your comments there, that the input can be in a form that's not necessarily a position statement, but rather some thoughts, some guidance for the group in and around the issues. So, okay, thanks. So Thomas next.
It is my understanding that I'm supposed to give the update from the CCNSO Council. I'm looking at Glenn, I think that is correct. So the CWG has, topic has been discussed in the CCNSO, and Patrick Miles has kindly sent a written report to the GNSO Council list. Would you like me to voice that feedback now, or otherwise I would just recommend councillors go and look at that feedback because it also reflects the current state of play inside the CCNSO on the CWG.
Thanks, Thomas. Is there any, I mean, I think I saw something, maybe I skim read that, but my sense is that it's work in progress still as far as the CCNSO Council is concerned. Or is it, I mean, I'd imagine that's still the case.
Yes, I mean, there seems to be divergence on, excuse me, on the internal versus external model, but the CWG also has discussed a process how to make decisions, how to deal with the situation if and when the GAC maybe has one country objecting to the whole proposal. So there's a little bit more to it, but I recommend councillors go and read that for the full information.
Okay, thank you. Avery?
Thank you. Avery speaking. Yeah, in the NCSG, we spent quite a bit of time talking through it. And we've taken the nine questions, and actually created a drive document where we're starting to collect the various views of different people in the group. We've taken perhaps, and this is not necessarily in the whole NCSG, although the whole NCSG is sort of part of this discussion, a different approach, and started looking at how we would try to integrate the models and the important aspects of those models to the various groups into a common model to see if we can create something that sort of aims towards a middle space to see what we can create. And so that's one of the things that we've put a bunch of effort into going forward. Not only will we continue to discuss it on a specialized list, but we've also talked about having regular conference calls within the group to make sure that we all stay, and that the periodicity of those calls will probably increase as we start to have more to talk about, as we get to the more critical decisions, and as the member from the NCSG, I start to switch from being someone that speaks with personal opinion to trying to speak more and more a group opinion. So that's pretty much where we're at on it.
Thanks. Any other comments? Heather?
Thank you, Jonathan. Heather Forrest. I'll offer a very brief. It seems we're doing a round robin just to see where everyone's at. So with that in mind, I'll offer a brief perspective from the IPC. We had a lengthy discussion, not specifically on the questions at this point, but let's say taking our mandate and our responsibility to make sure that the community is fully across, let's say, the background and the context. So we had a fair bit of discussion around the difference between internal and external model and got a bit bogged down in that discussion, but have the questions on the agenda for upcoming meeting. So we'll report back. Thank you.
Out of interest, I mean, arguably the CWG itself is a bit bogged down in that discussion. And it's something where what's been on my mind a lot as chair of that CWG is that it is a very important point, but not the only point. Was any feedback like that received? Was any sort of feedback on the process or the workings of the group? Was there any thoughts or impact of that? So I've got Heather coming back on that, and Phil, I think, is your hand up? Or
thank you, Jonathan. In fact, you've really hit the nail on the head. I think the trouble that the IPC has is really understanding, is there a difference between the internal and external model, and noting that the difference is really relatively tight. It's relatively small. So I suppose that's where we're struggling, let's say.
Okay, I'm not sure there's a whole lot more to say unless anyone would like to say it. I mean, is someone else in the queue? I've got Avery with a hand up. Anyone else? Avery.
Yes, thank you. Avery speaking. I just want to sort of endorse the Heather's last statement. One of the things that we've noticed in the approach we've taken of trying to integrate the models is that there really are only a few decision places where things come out differently. And so by trying to build the integrated model, we've pretty much discovered the same thing that they've discovered.
Good. Well, thanks. I think that's useful input. And significantly, I think, as far as the council's concerned, it's encouraging to know that the discussion's taking place thoroughly in the groups and that you've taken that output from the CWG and are ensuring, in addition to the work, any work that the group's appointed members will be doing, the councillors are also tracking it and ensuring that the groups are aware of it. So to that extent, it feels to me like the discussion documents met the objectives of the CWG. So let's close that item 4 for now. And just to remind you, there is a working group meeting of the CWG later this afternoon. And there's also, perhaps more significantly in the context of this conversation we've just had, a question and answer session where, to the extent that you have, the groups have prepared and formulated inputs, you'll be able to bring those to that Q&A session tomorrow. So, good. All right, item 5 is then an opportunity for us to hear. I mean, we did hear on the weekend updates from Thomas on the work of the cross-community working group on ICANN accountability. So, Thomas, perhaps you could just remind us of any detail of that and any updates. And you may want to speak to the fact that, any linkage issues as well.
Thanks very much, Jonathan. And I'm looking at Lars now. I think, Lars, I'm not going to go through the slide deck. I've discussed with Jonathan that we would only do a quick update to what happened between the weekend working session and today. So as you will remember, I have given an update to the group, as I did during the previous GNSO Council calls. You will recall that our group first did a scoping exercise, so we established an inventory of ICANN existing accountability mechanisms. We did an inventory of the public comments received, the community asks in terms of accountability. We looked at the areas of collaboration with the CWG, and we continue to closely interact with the CWG co-chairs on a weekly basis. And we also amalgamated a list of contingencies that we need to take into account to safeguard ICANN against threats such as hostile takeover or financial crisis or others. So these are pretty much done, and we have subsequently further fleshed the work areas out by splitting the work into two subsets, one of which would be looking at community empowerment mechanisms in more depth, and the other would be looking at review and redress mechanisms. And actually, we've now entered a phase where we think about how to operationalize the community powers, how we can operationalize review and redress mechanisms. And the groups will now go to the next level of detail by looking at individual review and redress mechanisms, talk about questions of standing, for example, who can get access to a review or redress mechanism, what are the conditions of standing, what is the standard for a specific review or redress mechanism, how is the decision-making body composed, how many people should be there, are those making decisions appointed or elected. So we're basically coming up with a matrix that can be filled with life for the various accountability mechanisms that we have. And we will continue to discuss this during a session tomorrow. We have, as you know, presented to a couple of different groups, and we've encouraged the members as well as the participants to seek input and feedback from their respective groups. There have been some questions and comments which we will analyze, and we also had an engagement session earlier today where we thought it was a good sign that there were no concerns raised in the sense that we were entirely on the wrong track. So there was no very critical debate, but there was one point which I think is worthwhile mentioning, and that is that we've been asked to make what we're doing as simple and transparent as possible. So the accountability architecture that we're working on should be easy to understand, and that's something that we certainly have at the top of our list to keep it simple. We're going to have a meeting tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. I know that this is not a nice hour for all of us to start working, but I really recommend that you come and sit in with us. It's an open meeting, although microphone time will be given to members and participants as a priority matter, but I think we're going to have a good discussion and very interesting things to report on, one of which is that I mentioned that we were working on the contingencies, but you will also remember that the U.S. government has asked us for stress tests. So we have started working on a document actually doing the stress test exercise. We can only finalize that once we have everything in place, but there are certain things that we can already test, and there is a methodology for that, and we do hope that we can get a group consensus on 5 out of the 25 areas tomorrow so that we have a fifth off the table, more or less. So we're now really working on substance, which I think is a good thing. So please do come visit the wiki site. It has all the documents and continuously updated documents for you. Go read through it, and should you have any questions, please do come to the co-chairs, Mathieu Weil, Leon Sanchez, or myself, or I'm also sure that the members and participants are glad to answer any questions. And final remark, I think it's, and that's a personal remark, I think it's very important to note that the co-chairs of the CWG, as well as we stand as one, right? So we are having separate discussions in various fora, but one doesn't go without the other. And I think that we can't highlight that enough. We are working very, very closely with each other. We have two work areas. We have clearly demarcated charters that we're working on, but we are trying to seek ways on actually bringing the fact that the works are intertwined or interlinked and interdependent, to bring that to best possible fruition. And I think you will see much more of that as we progress, because the more specificity we have, the better we can cooperate on coming up with a holistic approach on things.
Thanks, Thomas. Any questions or comments for Thomas on that report and update? Any? Okay, thank you. So next item deals with the progress towards launching the PDP on the purpose of GTLD registration data. This is the work that's been going on to deal with a PDP on the purpose of who is, including taking into account the work of the expert working group. Susan gave us an update on the weekend, and this is an opportunity for her to just take that further, to the extent that any additional work's been done in the interim, and also for any of you to provide any questions or input based on the work undertaken in the interim yesterday. Go ahead, Susan.
So there isn't much to report, but I did the update here in the GNSO, and there was definitely comments that we collected, and then the all things who is panel, I participated there with the same presentation, and we've captured those comments also. So the board GNSO group will meet once again and take the comments from the community into discussion, see if we think something should be changed in the plan, and then report back to the GNSO. And most likely is, you know, then staff will just continue their work on drafting the preliminary issue report.
Any comments, questions, issues arising? Go ahead, Amma.
Thanks. This is Amar. This has probably been raised before and addressed, but just to be sure, I'm wondering about some of the ongoing WHOIS PEPs, like the privacy and proxy services accreditation issues and translation, transliteration of contact information. I'm just to be sure, the outputs of those PDPs, they will somehow feed into the preliminary issue reports. Okay, I was just double-checking that.
Well, staff could tell you if they'd be part of the report, but they will be referenced, at least. I'm not sure exactly how that the mechanics of that works, but we're definitely part of the work we did was to make sure that all of the existing work and the work that's finishing up concerning WHOIS will be noted and considered.
Yeah, so since this is ongoing work, I can see how it's unclear how it's still going to be included, but just making sure that there's someone looking out for those. Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, Amara. And just to, and this is not directed at you, but just to remind everyone to identify themselves for the scribe so that you can be attributed properly. I think I had James up next.
Thanks, and just quickly, James speaking, and I think that Susan addressed it at the end of her comment, but some of the, it's possible that some of that work may still be ongoing during, there could be some overlap and some timing issues between the time that this issues report is out and those other efforts are still continuing, so I think they will inform that effort as best they can in their whatever state of completion that they're in.
This is Amar again. Yeah, in the event that that occurs, it might be advisable to perhaps put some placeholders in a preliminary issue report pending the outcomes of those PDPs just to make sure that they are considered within the scoping of the issues and perhaps later on in a charter draft or during the PDP discussions themselves. But I'm guessing that, I mean, if we're going to be talking about designing a completely new WHOIS and end-to-end with everything considered, definitely want to take into consideration the discussions that are either going on now and still ongoing at the time of the post-EWG PDP, or if it is all done, then great.
Thank you. I've got Volker next.
Yes, Volker Kramer for the scribes. Just one question. Is the thinking still along the lines of creating one PDP, or is it more like breaking it up into sizable chunks that can actually be digested by individually? I'm thinking that there will probably, at least in my opinion, have to be a minimum of three PDPs, i.e. one for the why, one for the what, one for the how. But even within that, there will probably be logical points where a separation into multiple chunks might be advisable.
So in the presentation, you know, I don't have the slides. I'm not sure we can bring those up. But we are advocating for one PDP broken up into three phases, the why, the how, and the what. And within that, there would be sub-teams working in parallel with other parts of the PDP. So, yes, it is rather complicated, but we gave a lot of discussion in how you would break this up and would it be feasible and the continuity. And the whole team agreed that one PDP with multiple phases would be the best. You know, one of the things that's still open for discussion, well, all of it's open for discussion, actually, but is, you know, is there creating some sort of collaboration team or oversight committee that can make sure that all the moving pieces interact okay, and that, you know, if a decision is made on a policy for, you know, users and purpose, will that work for the privacy part of it? And so I think this will be a little bit different of a PDP than we've experienced in the past. I mean, it is because, you know, it's first board-initiated PDP. So, you know, we may take a little different tactics if a community agrees on it.
Thanks. Just to note before you come back on that, Volker, that there is the three phases are now shown on the screen, the main display screen.
Yes, thank you for illuminating that. It seems, if done as one PDP, to be a very daunting task that would probably involve every member of the community in one PDP that is in some form active in working groups and policy making. Everyone would have to be involved in that PDP in some form or another, and would probably... we would probably be looking at least five appointments a week to get together and have the different subgroups meet. If you are interested in more than one subject, then this could easily devolve into a full-time job. So I would caution against having everything bunched up into one big PDP and rather have separate PDPs with one oversight committee that would keep everything going in one line. But having everything together is boggles my mind how that would work.
Volker, what you fail to notice is that I'll be needing a full-time job when I step down from the council. Don't take that as a volunteering. McKaylee.
McKaylee Nayland for the record. Thanks, Jonathan. And I just wanted to speak to this because I really don't want us to create a full-time job for Jonathan, and I'm sure he'll be able to find a full-time job without creating full-time jobs for the rest of us. I served, as many of you know, on the EWG, and I think it is a very important work, but I am very wary of the number of Who Is related activities that are on that visual thing that was presented to us a couple of days ago. The number of Who Is related activities, no, not that one. That one is just on the EWG. There is another one floating around that was presented as part of the All Things Who Is presentation, and was also presented by Margie Milam from staff when she was giving an update on Who Is related activities. Excluding either a super duper all encompassing massive EWG three-phase, I don't know what, PDP, or breaking it out into multiple PDPs, excluding that, ignoring that completely, there are a very large number of Who Is related activities that are either in process now or due to start up within the next few months. So I would caution the GNSO in terms of how they handle the timing of any of these activities. I'm not saying not to do something, I'm just cautioning you with respect to the timing of any actions.
Thanks, Michaela. That was Michaela Nalon for the record, in case I'm not sure you identified up front, Michaela.
I did identify myself, and I think the scribes are well used to my dulcet Irish tones at this stage.
Thank you.
Stephanie Barron for the record. I too served on that working group, and Michaela and I don't always agree, but on this one, I think we are strenuously in agreement. I would suggest that it might be very useful for the council if we got that Who Is update, All Things Who Is, and matched up the PowerPoint slides in that presentation because they have dates on them, so that we'd have some thorough appreciation of the cross-linkages and the amount of work involved here. I appreciate that the group that has convened between the board and the GNSO all think it's a good idea to have one PDP, but who is going to serve on it, and what benefit do we have from rushing something through like that? I know people want this to be achieved, but it's just too complex to do it that way. I I can't buy the rationale that we can actually achieve this.
Okay, thanks, Stephanie. I think, Marika, you'd like to respond to that. And then James.
Yes, this is Marika from Icon staff. One reason, I think, why we've been talking about one PDP is that if you do it in separate PDPs, each of those PDPs will require an issue report and a charter. So the idea is that you would have one issue report, one charter, but the charter would clearly break down the work of those phases as well as the checkpoints that are required, because otherwise you may have a duplication of you know, maybe unnecessary process if after you complete phase one, you actually have to start again with your PDP by requesting an initial report, developing a charter, and going to the next phase. So I think that at least is, as I understand the thinking of the process working group, is to have it as one PDP, but it does not mean that everything happens at the same time and needs to be rushed or very quickly done. I think the whole idea is that just by streamlining it from a process perspective, you can start with the phase one, and once everything is ready, the council confirms or approves that it's ready to move to the next phase, it is able to do so without having to go and start all over again. I think that is the main reason around the thinking of one PDP. And I don't think that's unnecessarily scare people that it then just means it's all going to be piled up and a whole lot of work all at the same time, because I think it will still be organized along a work plan that the working group would set out and would meet hopefully the expectations of the council with regards to timing, taking into account other initiatives or that may be aligned. But at least that's what I understand to be the current thinking.
Thanks. I've got to just note that I've got a queue. Thank you, Marika. I've got a queue with James, Yoav, and then Kathy. So, James, go ahead.
Thanks. James speaking for the transcript. I share some of the concerns that have been stated around the table, I think, by Stephanie and others. But I just want to make a couple of points. First of all, I think some of this is a little premature. I think we're still kind of wrapping up this plan. It's not final yet. This is good feedback. We're still working on it, and I think that some of the concerns about workload have been expressed during this process. I am a veteran of IRTP A through D, but I think it was supposed to go to E, so I think that there is also something to be said about the dangers of breaking this up into interdependent pieces that constantly refer to each other and kick work backwards and forwards across that train. So there's no silver bullet here. So I think it's a little premature. It's good to talk about these things, but I don't think we should presume that these things are locked down. I do want to make one point, however, and I think it's to Marika's point. There are you almost need a telescope to see the little gray triangles at the bottom there along that timeline where the council weighs in as this is a phased PDP. And I would say that we need to take those checkpoints very seriously as we go through this work. And I don't want to presume that is a check the box. Let's just say right now, I'm not going to allow any of that to come on the consent agenda. This is something that we're going to have to really look at and assess both the workload that led up to that checkpoint, whether it was the inputs or whether we're coming out of phase one and into phase two or whether we're finishing the whole thing, and really make sure that that this thing is proceeding as as a manageable and a realistic and a proportionate piece of effort here. And so I just want to put my marker down and say that as we go through this process, as we finalize this work plan, and as we go through these processes, I'm going to be pushing for some very stringent examinations at those council checkpoints. And I think right now it says GNSO Council Approval. I'd like to recommend that we change the language on that to GNSO Council Review, GNSO Council Assessment, GNSO Council, whatever you want to call it. Approval means we approve it, and I don't think that should be a foregone conclusion. Thanks.
Thanks, James. It's a good point. What terminology we use? We use approval to mean approval or not. But nevertheless, I take your point. It does imply that we will approve it. I'm going to go to the floor mic, Kathy, if you are ready, because just to give you the preference since you're standing.
Much appreciated. Thank you very much. Kathy Kleiman, Non-Commercial Stakeholders Group. So a set of concerns and then a question at the end, probably directed to Susan. So echoing what Amar said, how I'd love a little more detail how we build from the work already done, not just the work that's being done, which is considerable proxy privacy accreditation working group, but just in the last few years, we've finished the thick Who Is working group, where the Who Is review team has worked. Is the mic on? In addition to the EWG and its dissent, which we should talk about too. So how do we build on that? Not just references, but into, there was another complicated slide, and I saw a lot of references to the EWG report, which I understand from Avery to be one input among many. So how do we build into the slides, not just references, not just footnotes, but actual references to the work already done, the considerations that people have spent years already working on? So that's one question. Second question is, whose assumptions are being used as we're building a lot of these processes for the policy requirements? Are we starting with EWG assumptions? Are we starting with the Who Is review team assumptions? Are we starting with Who Is review team assumptions? I think actually there's a lot of kind of starting points. We have to, I think to be fair, we should build all of this in because it would all come from community participation, except frankly the EWG, which was not community participation. So where are the assumptions coming from? Where are the backgrounds coming from? We have to build all this in. And then I wanted to ask where the model is evaluated, and it may be under system model, but the centralization versus the decentralization. This has been a huge issue, one database or many databases. Could you tell me where that will be evaluated? Because that's going to be a big thing. Will the database reside with the registrar, the registry, or centralized or decentralized? Where does that evaluation take place? And just a comment. I used to say I was going to die doing Who Is. I think we're all going to die doing Who Is.
Thanks, Kathy. Before Susan comes back, we might want to come back right away, Susan. I'd just like to point out that the first preliminary issue report already did include references to all the previous Who Is efforts. And they will also be included in this issue report. So that's worth, as the, this issue report's not confined to the work of the EWG, but on the purpose of registration data. So it's a broader, the EWG feeds into that work, but it's not the sum total of that work. I don't know if I've stolen your thunder, Susan, or if there was something else you wanted to say.
No, you've definitely not stolen the thunder, but I agree that, and we could sort of walk through some of these slides again, but then that would be the third time this week, so I don't want to burden you with that. So this is maybe the view of the team that, the board GNSO team that was working on this, but it's definitely my perception of this is the EWG was started. Whether you agreed with that or not, the work is there. Something had to be done with it. This team got together, gave a lot of thought to it. What was missing? What do we need? And it really needs to all go to that preliminary issue report, which staff is developing, which probably includes everything that people are talking about right now. And then the community needs to weigh in. And the community has not had the opportunity to weigh in on the final EWG report. And then on the fact that this could be, this massive PDP. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion by the community that this will move forward to a PDP. That is something we have to decide. But I don't think we can make all those decisions and answer all of Kathy's questions until we have the report, the preliminary report, get the comments back, go through our regular process, issue the final issue report, and then decide what we were going to do as a community. So all of these are very good questions and input, and I encourage you to continue that, but you'll have lots of months, if not longer, to weigh in on it too. This is not the only time.
Great input. Thank you, Susan. And also particularly highlighting, because this is a unique set of circumstances. You referred earlier to being a board-initiated PDP. It's a PDP that's going to take the input of an expert working group. That's what this group's gone off to try and do some work to make sure that we do that and retain the integrity of the PDP process. So we're working through a process here, and that's very helpful to highlight those elements of it. I've got a queue. Yoav, are you're in still? You'd like to talk?
Yeah, I want to echo on what James said, and this is and what Susan said just now. This is definitely we need the stakeholder, different stakeholder groups to weigh in on the EWG, and that still didn't happen. And I know I have a lot of what to say about that. I'm sure there's a lot of other people that whether we need that or we don't need that, and how is it going to do? I have a lot of concerns about it. The one thing I'm trying, maybe it's taking back a little bit on Stephanie, what you've said, I may be confused or my brain died for a few seconds. Why is one PDP on an issue more complex than having multiple processes on the same time? I'm just trying to understand the logic.
Stephanie, would you like to respond, or are you coming in next anyway?
I think I'm somewhere close to next in line anyway, and respond and clarify. Because, and both James and Marika responded to what I had to say. I think the problem, and I'm busy doing the research as someone who hasn't been doing all things who is for the last 10 years or 15 or however many it is, I'm trying to compile all the information, pulling it off the website, trying to read all the documents, trying to figure out which assumptions have been agreed and ratified by a process, which have not, which were recommendations, what are open questions, what letters that the board has received on who is issues have been answered and which haven't. And this is not easy, and I need help. So, plea number one, we need a librarian to assist in this so that we can pull all this together. Number two, in response to my worries about the one PDP, I think we all bring to our work here our backgrounds in terms of how we approach work, whether you're used to a particular type of project management, whether you're used to multi-year operational plans, may influence the way you see the process. What I see in the process is slides without the kind of depth that I want to see to figure out the cross linkages and the multiple strands. And therefore, I'm a little insecure that all of these things are going to be well knit together and well meshed, because there are so many dependencies between THIC who is and decisions that are being made there, between the technical protocols that have just been agreed in WIRDS, between the contract negotiations that went on in the RAA, between the new group that has started to resolve the who is conflicts, between the work that we're already well immersed in on the PPSAI. I need to map that on a project plan, and these checkpoints that James referred to, those little triangles, they don't do it for me. I want to know exactly how we ratify and make sure that these decisions have been approved by council before we move on to the next phase. So that's where my insecurity is. And it may be just my unfamiliarity with ICANN project management. Thanks.
I can't say whether it is unfamiliarity or not, but it certainly is a sizable piece of work, and that's acknowledged by the other input. So I think these are valuable guidance to both staff and community people are going to be working on the project. I've got Avri and then Yoav.
Thank you. Avri speaking. I just wanted to do two things. First of all, I think that, you know, the people, whether it was Chuck the other day, Stephanie today, this is, if you look at this like an engineering program, it is definitely a complicated engineering program, and it is going to need serious project management skills. I wasn't thinking necessarily of an archivist, but perhaps the efforts of an archivist might be useful at this time, especially given the classic organization of ICANN document retrieval. I also wanted to just make sure that the question about where the system model, the system model actually, Kathy, does have a line that's in there of looking at the system model. And among the conversations we've had is looking at it and seeing, is the system model even practical? Can it be done? So those questions are indeed, you know, questions that are on the list of things to be dealt with in that system model line, right above the cost model line is, and if you can do them, what's the cost going to be on these things? So that stuff is in there and has been being talked about. I think the people that said, yeah, we need, but that's where the issues report is going to start to be what expands it, what fills in the spaces. But I think anybody that has intimated that this project doesn't need a project management, all those that have sort of said, my God, this is complicated, and what about the interactions, is right. It really does need serious project management. But if you look at it like an engineering project, it's not that much harder than building a jet airliner.
They have been built before.
Yeah, Susan wants to respond, and then I've got Yoav and Amma, and then I think we need to bring this to a close. So Susan, Yoav, Amma.
And to the point of serious project management, one of the discussions we had, we didn't put it out as a recommendation necessarily, but the community might think about it, is let's hire someone that can completely take this on as a project and manage it as a serious project that it is. And so maybe we ask budget for that.
Thank you. I've got Yoav and then Amma, and then we'll close this discussion.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't share your views, Avery. I don't think this is a jet. I've been involved in much more complicated development processes, and this is a simple database process that has some interest into it, privacy, brand protection, some technical registry and registrar's issues. That's it. It's a simple database. This is not so complicated. I'm all in favor to have a project manager to do that. I think that if we have one process, we have everything weighed in. This is why we have the PDP multi-stakeholder model. This is exactly where everyone will have. There's going to be a working group. You'll have your chance to say your things. This is what the GNSO and ICANN is all about. So I think that the way we're doing what we're doing now and having so many other processes, and we're wasting too much resources on something that can be solved much quicker. Just my personal view.
Thank you. Amr.
Thanks. This is Amr. I was going to say, because there's a lot of folks expressing a great deal of concern about this issue here today, and I just wanted to say that I actually feel a lot better about this now than I did a year ago, and I think I've at least been a thorn in the side of policy staff on the whole thing of syncing the EWG work with the regular GNSO process. And so I'm talking about from a process perspective. I'm grateful that we've pretty much moved beyond that first preliminary issue report. I think it's very interesting, and I like the way that the GNSO and the board work together on this group to sort of have both groups feed into a new preliminary issue report. And that's an interesting way to do a board-initiated PDP. I think it's a good thing. And I'm glad that we are going to have this new preliminary issue report, and there is going to be the opportunity for the community to weigh in on that and provide comments to make sure that we get everything we want into the final issues report. And that may address some of the current concerns that Kathy might have had just a few minutes ago. And so I just wanted, since I'm the last person to talk on this, I'll leave it on a pleasant note, a bit of a pleasant note.
Thank you. Positive and pleasant note. And it's been a substantial discussion. And in my prospective role in the group, I'm very pleased to see there's a potentially paid-for role. So I'll put my hat in the ring for the project manager building the jetliner. That's not a serious comment, but thanks. That was a substantial discussion, very useful to air the views. So we move on now to item 7, which is an opportunity to get an update on the work of the GNSO GAC consultation group. And you will be aware we saw the proposals coming from that group, I think, on the weekend. Mason's going to give us an update, including output that came from presenting those proposals to the GAC and where this might go next as far as we're concerned. Over to you, Mason.
Thank you, Jonathan. Mason speaking.
Lars is putting up the slides right now. Would it be beneficial to the council if I ran through these one more time, or are we all familiar with the...
I think you can probably cover them at a kind of conceptual level rather than all of the detail, but if you need to refer to them, by all means do.
No, no problem. So the just as a reminder to the council, what the working group or the consultation group is seeking is a credible, easy-to-use method, relatively easy-to-use method, for the GAC to engage in GNSO work processes, specifically earlier in the policy development process than early in the policy development process rather than following the process when it's been voted to the board and the GAC at that point offers advice to the board. What we've done, what the consultation group has done, is come up with a set of recommendations for a process by which the GAC would engage in a GNSO PDP at around the issues report stage. So just in the interest of time, I won't go through the slides again, but if there are questions about them, about the process, I'm happy to answer those. These were presented to the GAC, and on the whole were received positively, I can report. So I think that the GAC is interested in providing its input during the PDP. The question right now to be solved is how is the GAC going to organize itself in order to provide that input. The reaction on the part of the GAC to the proposed process was overall positive. They didn't find it to be overly burdensome or overcomplicated. There were some questions about minute details of the process, but nothing that couldn't be overcome, in my opinion, anyway. And the agreement following the that presentation and a discussion earlier this week was that we're at a stage right now where we're ready to try the process out with a real live PDP. And in some ways, I hope it's not the one on who is, but we'll find out.
But be a good test.
Right, yeah, it'll be a test case for sure. We could go in and fine tune the process, and you know, before we do that. But I think there was agreement on the part of the consultation group that there's no need to do that. What we should do now is just. Once the council is prepared to act on a new PDP, that'll become the test case for the process, and we'll be off to the races at that point. So I think that's pretty much it, Jonathan, unless there are questions.
Thanks, Mason. So my understanding on the basis of that meeting with the GAC is that we are essentially going to proceed with this on an experimental basis, as you say, on the first PDP. I think we'll probably bring this to the council for some kind of formal sign-off at the next council meeting. But from our point of view, as far as the GAC's concerned, we're good to go. Mason's right. There are some procedural issues as far as the GAC processing it, but as far as the work of the consultation group and a test or trial basis from which to work, experimental basis from which to work, we have it. Go ahead, Mason.
Jonathan, forgive me for asking at this point. Do you want to bring up the issue of, the possibility that there may or may not be a PDP before the end of the pilot program for the liaison and what the discussion about potentially extending that?
Let's pick that up as a separate point because it is an output from the consultation group. I think there's a couple of questions or responses first, and that's I've got Brett first in line.
Thanks. Brett Fawcett from the Registry constituency. Quick question for Mason and maybe for general discussion as well. Does this quick look process contemplate that if we get the GAC involved early, that after we take account of the GAC's views, they are foreclosed from commenting to the board? And if the answer is no, then... what's the purpose? I'm afraid that we're going to get the GAC involved early with a quick look, and then regardless of what we do, they're going to comment at the end anyway. So I'm just maybe playing the contrarian here. Want to ask the question and figure out if there's a way of getting them early and never again or whether they're just going to get in early and then get in again and again and again, as we've seen in the past.
I have an opinion on that, but I'm not going to say it. I'll defer to the queue. We've got Marília,
is a tough one. Marília Maciel, the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group. Just first of all, I'd like to thank very much everybody that worked on this proposal. I think it was must have been a very tough work. It's a very interesting mechanism, and in my view, it may bring in the GAC early, may prompt them to work intersessionally, and this is something that may, facilitate their work and the moment that they're going to provide their advice, maybe they are more well-informed and it would take less time. So I see this as a positive development, even though they will be able to provide their recommendation later on. I think that they will not wait until the moment they receive the documents on their table. They will be exposed to it. They will be able to discuss among them. So I see this as something positive. My doubt is related to preliminary recommendation number one, that suggests that the issue report template should be modified and to include a space where existing GAC advice on the matter would be pointed out. My doubt is that, to my view, the issue report is a document that serves the whole community for them to be informed. And if we put there advice that comes from the GAC, not advice that comes from other advisory committees such as ALAC and CISAC, my fear, my concern is that maybe we are giving GAC advice a symbolic weight that it does not have because it's an advice like other advices. I know that we all understand what the context is here, but we are preparing something that will be available for the community for years to come. And maybe people that were not exposed to the process of developing these recommendations will start to see GAC advice as something that is different from other types of advice or with more weight. So have you pondered that, and what are your views? Thank you.
Thanks, Marila. I will go to Marika next, who I think wants to respond directly to that, and then I've got a queue of quite a substantial number of inputs. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to clarify, we called it out there to make clear to the GAC that we would be looking for that and putting that in, but that's actually already standing practice. When we prepare an issue report, we look at all the information available, whether that's from the GAC, the ALAC, or any other group that may have made an opinion on it. So I don't think that we're foreseeing creating a special page and header that would really call out the GAC advice over any others. It's really to reassure the GAC that when we do our research, if we have information that there is standing GAC advice on the topic, we'll definitely include that. But it's basically just reconfirming what we already do. So I hope that addresses your question.
Just a follow-up question. So it's not a separate box or anything, it's just in the text?
No, it may be a separate heading if we similarly have for other input provided separate headings. It's not. I don't think it's foreseen to change anything that we currently have in issue reports or in the PDP manual, how it describes. It's just to make sure that the GAC understands that if we have that information, we would, of course, reference that like we would do any other advice or input that has been developed on a certain topic by any other SOAC or organization that is relevant.
So overall, the objective is to facilitate GAC input, and I think we should use that word carefully. It's GAC input into the PDP process. It's not GAC advice. GAC advice is something which is given to, obviously, to the ICANN board, and this doesn't take the place of or deal with GAC advice at all. It's simply a mechanism, in fact, to, in a sense, ideally avoid GAC advice having to be given later through effective engagement of the GAC early on in the process. Okay, let me stop there and let others talk and come in. So I've got Amar next.
Thanks. I just wanted to point a couple of things out. First of all, the work of the GAC GNSO consultative group is far from over. The purpose of the quick look mechanism was not to get input from the GAC, substantive input on GTLD policy issues. It was basically a means for the GAC to identify a PDP that is about to be launched as something that may have public policy implications. So they would be able to sort of just weigh in on the initial issues report, the preliminary issues report, sort of saying that there is a public policy implication to this, and we would like that recognized, and we will weigh in later on on the PDP, and that's why this group still has a lot of work to do. We've got over this earliest part of the PDP, but there still is quite a bit we still need to do. My other point is on the recommendations we made regarding the quick look mechanism. We presented those. These were presented to the GAC over the weekend, and then we had a second meeting, which was a tighter meeting with the group for the participants from the GNSO and from the GAC, and there were a few other GAC members who came into the room as well. And this was, I think, on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. We had this meeting, and we were hoping to get some feedback from the GAC members there, but we didn't really get much. I think we did most of the talking. So I think it might be worthwhile to just recognize that we need to give them just a little time to take a closer look at these recommendations and maybe follow up with them and see if they have any questions or concerns over the coming weeks. So that might be something we want to do.
Certainly, this should always be scope for that. But the takeaway was, you know, bearing in mind that the GAC meets at these meetings, and the takeaway that I think we walked off with was that they were happy for us to work. There were no objections to us opening up this as a new way of trying things. Avery, thank you, Amma, for that contribution. Thank you, Avery.
Thank you, Avery speaking. Brett, I actually tend to look at it a little different, in that the more information we get from the GAC earlier, the earlier we can prepare ourselves to defend against it, to make sure that it's covered, to make sure that we've responded to the points that we know they're going to make, so that when the board gets the PDP, there are not all these questions where we go, oh, we didn't quite cover that, and then there's this blank spot that we've seen several times. So I actually see it quite useful in a defensive sense of making sure we've covered. And even if it's the point of saying we've looked at that issue and have decided elsewise, it is worth knowing what the issue is going to be before the end of the PDP. So that's the perspective I've taken on a lot of this. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. I've got a queue which includes Thomas, David, James, and Carlos, and then we'll draw a line under that. So, Thomas, go ahead.
Actually, I had indicated to the co-chairs that I would pass, but after I had heard Avery, I asked to get back in the queue. Because the notion that we need to get information earlier to be prepared to defend, I think that's an inaccurate reflection of the mechanism. I think while the GAC is not part of the GNSO, still it's part of the overall ecosystem, and we certainly welcome information that can help our discussions from all sides. So I think it's important to understand where the GAC stands and maybe factor their thinking into the outcome or the work products that we're working on, and thereby diminish the risk of a train crash. So I think that every piece of information that we can get is valuable, should be taken into account. It should not be perceived as like them dictating the direction that we take, but I think it needs to be known and analyzed and then incorporated. And even though individual GAC members can only speak on behalf of themselves, maybe not even of their governments, let alone the whole GAC, they have the mindset of a government representative. And it's quite likely that they will inject those thoughts that the GAC is likely to have, even though it's not binding. And I think that's all valuable. And the last point I'll make is that I think that we're all struggling to find the best working methods to be a good multi-stakeholder model. And I think the more areas of collaboration there are and the more we embrace what the GAC is doing, the more efficient the whole model becomes.
Thanks, Thomas. Go ahead, David. All right, David will pass, and we'll go to James.
You sure? Going twice? Okay, so James speaking, the transcript. I'm going to go off on a limb as well and probably put myself squarely associated with Brett's comments and sentiments. I'm very concerned about Quick Look. I think it's a solid idea, and I think it's very well-intentioned, but here's how I see this playing out. If I can be a little blunt here, is that
Unless there's some sort of backstop that says something along the lines of, you know, if GAC uses the quick look to identify that there is or is not a public policy interest in a particular subject, then that they would refrain from issuing advice from the board at the conclusion of the PDP. I don't think we can get them to say that, so I don't think that the quick look has that degree of value. I'm concerned that quick look could possibly dissuade or influence the work of the PDP based on without GAC participation, that it could just be a way of kind of putting a marker down on a PDP and then walking away until it's finished. And I'm also concerned about the possibility that a quick look would be disregarded entirely, and that in some future ICANN meeting years from now, probably in Singapore, we would be complaining that the quick look was not being used sufficiently or as it was intended. So I get the intention behind it, and I think it's well-meaning, and I commend the folks from the GNSO who I know are working very hard and in good faith with the GAC to try and get around this issue, but in just in practical terms, I feel like this is kind of a non-starter.
If I can, having now remembered what I was going to say, if the quick look totally fails, what's the consequence? The main consequence is we're back to where we are now, which is not great. It is a trial. It is, you know, it's an idea. We will refine and change it, it's also, I mean, yes, it's a new mechanism, and it may prove to have some flaws. We're trialling some other new mechanisms, including the whole GNSO response to the GAC communique, which, among other things, we may in the future use to point out times when we think the quick look is being abused or not being used correctly. Let's give it a try, and rather than hoping it will be perfect, let's, you know, hope the coordination group will review its first two or three uses and see how it works. And this point was actually made by the GAC as well. They more or less said, let's try it out a few times, see how it goes. This is not settled. If it proves to have problems, I doubt it will make anything significantly worse. And if it works, then good.
Thanks, David. Carlos, and then we're going to wrap this topic up.
Yes, thank you. This is Carlos Gutierrez for the record. I'm not going to say anything new, but the order, I'm going to say it's important for Brett and for James. I don't think this is an initiative. My recollection, this is a mandate by the ATRT reviews, the early engagement. So it's not that this is an initiative that happened out of the blue. This was, I'm sure, in ATRT 2, I'm not sure if it was in the first one already. I think it was in the first one. It was not fulfilled in the first period, so it was repeated. So it's not an initiative from anybody or any group. Second, it's not advice, it's input, as some have said before. Then there are two further intentions that also have been mentioned there. First, to get them to work intersessionally. Because this is a big issue. One of the biggest delays is that they don't do anything or don't write anything between meetings. The second component of the proposal is hidden between the quick look by suggesting them to create a group. They tend to work as a plenary only. So it's more difficult for them to come to a unanimous position. So we have suggested that they delegate the work to a small committee, hoping that this all works. And we even suggested that while they decide how to create that, the leadership should take this task. Let's see if they do it or not. As we said, we are just expecting them to focus on two words, but we have covered that by public policy. I won't use the magic two words, but it's their call to say if the two words apply or not, and then the staff or the final report should have a specific chapter on that and delve on that. For example, we have had a discussion today on the geographic names, and some countries have said that they have, under their local law, geographic protection. Okay, this is an issue that they can bring forward that normally GNSO process wouldn't consider to go after each country. And lastly is to have a way to communicate with them outside or in parallel to the communique. Okay, so we don't have to wait for the communique. There might be some statements or some product that doesn't have to wait to be written in stone for the other process that we are discussing with them, which is how we are going to deal with the communique. So I'm sorry for repeating all that, but I think the sequence is very relevant. Thank you.
Thanks. I thought that was not necessarily repetitive. It was useful input, and actually it was a very useful discussion. I think we had something like 10 contributors there or something. That was great discussion and good input that we can that can be fed into any further thinking of the GAC GNSO consultation group. We're going to switch items 8 and 9 now because we have someone on standby ready to give us an update on the work going on in the GNSO review, and I know to all of us that's a particularly important topic for obvious reasons. So I'm going to invite former GNSO councillor Jennifer Wolfe, who has been leading the GNSO review working party, and to give us an update on the work of the GNSO review. Thank you. Welcome back, Jennifer.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back. Thanks. Hi, everyone. And sitting next to me is Colin Jackson from Westlake, which is the independent examiner, and he is going to be giving us an overview of what we received earlier today, and Larissa Gernick from staff, who has been enormously helpful throughout this whole process. So to give you a brief update on where we are in this process, there's a timeline you can see in front of you. Today, earlier today, the GNSO review working party met, and we were given for the first time a briefing on the findings and recommendations that are still in work in progress, working text from Westlake, and that's what Colin will be providing here momentarily. But we received that for the first time. We were able to have some initial discussion, and I think we were pleased with the status of the presentation. Between now and March 3rd, everyone on the working party will receive in full detail the working text, the data points that were gathered, and we'll have time to digest it, dig deeper into it, make our notes and comments in either an email thread or via our wiki. And on March 3rd, we'll be meeting to discuss those in more detail. That will be made available on the wiki, so to the extent you'd like to review this initial working text, please do. Please let me know if you have comments, and I'll be sure those are included. Between March 3rd and March 20th, the review working party will aggregate all of our comments to provide to Westlake so that they can take that under consideration. On April 23rd, the draft report will be provided by Westlake and then be open for public comment between April 23rd and the June ICANN 53 meeting. And then on the 14th of July, the report will be formally issued. So that's our time frame. Just to summarize, the GNSO Review Working Party is in existence to provide input, to be a liaison to you, the council, and to the community with Westlake and staff. And so to that extent, I certainly welcome any of you to contact me anytime with comments or suggestions so that we make sure that's incorporated. And you as the community, of course, have the opportunity to respond either through us or through the public comment period. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Colin Jackson to provide a very high level, since we only have a few minutes, and we had about an hour and a half this morning. So within the next few minutes, very high level overview of their findings and recommendations, and then we'll be happy to take questions. Yes.
Thank you, Jennifer. This is Colin Jackson of Westlake Governance, for the record. We have been working on this for a while. As you know, the status of the project now is that we have delivered what is described as a working text. A better way of describing it might be an incomplete draft. There is a lot that remains to be done, and there is a lot of material that remains to be added. Nevertheless, we have focused quite a lot on findings in respect of previous recommendations that have been made about the GNSO. On the screen there, you can see that we have five headings, which are essentially the board working group report headings. And the board working group had some 17 or 18 recommendations grouped in these five headings. Can we go on to the next slide, please? Oh, yeah, that's okay. No, we'll go back one, please, and I'll talk about that one in a moment. So under each of these areas, the working we discuss the extent to which the adoption of a working group model has been successful, and largely it has, in our view, but there is obviously a rather more detail than this available in the working text. We look at the PDP, one of our major, and we looked at the GNSO Council and the constituencies. One of our major findings is in the area of diversity, which is not very high. It is dominated by North America, with some Europeans and some culturally Europeans, culturally European persons such as myself from the Southern Hemisphere, who managed to get grouped in with Asia for ICANN's purposes. And the gender diversity is also not what you might hope. Let's say that. I dare say everybody's aware of that. We are recommending, for instance, that these things be measured, figures be collected, and that if you can't actually measure something, then you're never going to be able to manage it. With constituencies, we've looked at that. There have been attempts to form new constituencies. Back when the current structure was set up, there was a view that constituencies would come into existence as the need was perceived, and maybe some would disappear over time. That hasn't happened, with one exception. So we will be making recommendations in that area to try and free up that process. We are quite aware that you really need more volunteers to do the policy work. The PDP needs people to make it work. You have actually very few people doing the work in the PDP. And they work very hard, but that's not a really good model for an organisation that is facing a rapidly changing environment and will need to keep creating policy in a timely fashion. So some of our recommendations will be aimed at trying to avoid losing people who walk away or can't deal with, say, the robust nature of the debate that sometimes occurs. We've also looked at the improving communication and coordination with ICANN structures as well, and I was interested to hear the previous item about GAC on that one. I don't know that we can offer you a lot more except to say that you should be clearly trying to work well with other SOs and ACs, and so that you don't get surprised at the last minute by policy being found unacceptable in other quarters. Now, that's nothing you don't already know. Can we go to the next slide, please? The previous slide I talked about is essentially how the GNSO was meant to be a couple of years ago and the extent to which that has been realised. However, we're not in a steady state here. We are in an environment where the internet is evolving rapidly, as it always does, where the namespace, of course, is facing some interesting challenges, like the GTLD expansion, like IDNs, and the EPWG, the Whoisworth replacement. Obviously, these are quite crucial challenges for a policy organisation such as the GNSO. So we will be coming up with some recommendations about that, even though most of our text is focused on where it's been, but we do need to take a look at where it's going. The other point that is sometimes missed, I think, about the changed operating environment is the shift in the centre of gravity, as I've called it. If you look at the numbers of people who are now on the internet, a very high proportion are in China and India. Those nations do not even appear to be represented anywhere in the policy process here in GNSO. There may be one, I don't know, but the numbers are very, very low when you look at them. And we've got figures on this, which we can show you. So that is a further challenge, in my view, facing questioning the relevance almost of the organisation, and to stay relevant, when you're going to need to address that. So that is in process. We will be delivering a draft, as Jennifer told you. We'll be having a call with the working party on the 3rd of March to discuss the text that we have just distributed. And we will be seeking input from the working party then, as we have had all the way through the process, on our way to the first public draft, or to the public draft, I should say. At that, I'm happy to take any questions if the Chair so wishes.
Certainly, I think we should take advantage of you being here, and it would be great to... I've got Heather first. Go ahead, Heather.
Thank you, Jonathan, and thank you very much for your presentations, Jennifer and Colin. You've presented a timeline, and I suppose we're all critically interested in the flexibility in that timeline. I understand that your report presented today has been delayed somewhat. Can you give us some background as to why that delay occurred, and do we anticipate future shifting in the timeline that you presented today? Thank you.
Yes, I'm happy to discuss that. You are right. The timeline has certainly moved. That is because the process that was originally envisaged involved a single 360 survey that was meant to be done in 2 weeks flat, and zero to a few interviews. That's not how it turned out. The 360 took a very long time to reach critical mass, as it were, to actually get people engaged to fill it in. Despite a great deal of promotion, I might say, there was a need for a supplementary 360 that wasn't envisaged near the beginning. And then there was the once we started doing interviews, people initially weren't happy and then suddenly decided they wanted to be interviewed later on in the process. So we found the whole interview process was quite protracted, and we didn't conclude interviews until late last month. So that is a good Yes, and over to Jack.
Yeah, I'd just like to add in response to that. Some of the extensions of time were due to working party requests to ensure that we gathered sufficient data. We had concerns based upon responses throughout the process and requested these extensions so that we could ensure we could modify questions, that we could extend periods of time to ensure as much participation as possible. So we do appreciate Westlake working with us and staff working with us to accommodate those extensions, and I think the results will see the benefit of that.
Thanks both. I've got Phil Corwin next.
Yeah, Phil Corwin, and this is strictly a personal comment, but in reaction to your statement that the growth in use has been very substantial in India and China. As a personal comment, those of us who were in Beijing and experienced the difference in the websites that were available in the ICANN rooms versus those available from our hotel rooms, and those of us who have read increasing press reports about growing censorship within China to the point where businesses and academics in China are publicly complaining about their inability to do work because they can no longer reach essential websites and use essential search terms. I, of course, will wait to see the recommendations, but my personal concern is that I'm all for outreach to get greater diversity, including geographic and cultural diversity, but we need to make sure that those involved who get more involved with ICANN are committed to a free and open internet, free of excessive censorship and restraints on access to public information. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Volker?
Yes, Volker Greimer speaking for the Scribes. I had the privilege of being able to sit in on the presentation this morning, and I thought it raised a lot of very interesting topics that we are now only able to touch upon. One of the topics that most interested me was the topic of activating more volunteers and more participants, and I wonder if you could just say a few words on that topic.
Yes, you need You need more volunteers than you have to meet the policy, the requirements of policy that are being needed from the organisation, because you essentially only have a few, maybe a double handful of people who do most of the work. And that's a real problem. You rely. It can be very onerous. I understand that. Being part of one of these groups can take a lot of time. But if you have to be part of several groups in order just to get the work done, that is probably inconsistent with doing anything else in your life. So there is a pressing need for more people. There's also a pressing need for a wider pool. So as I alluded, not just mostly men from European or European-derived nations, if you see what I mean. So there's a couple of things coming together there, in that diversity, taking a more diverse approach will help you recruit more, hopefully. But also there have been incidences where people have grown quite disaffected with the whole organisation, mainly as a result of trying to engage with it, trying to form constituencies, trying to do other things. There is actual hostility to people coming in. When people, newcomers to the GNSO, find it difficult to break in, sometimes that is because it is just hard to understand everything, and we all understand that. ICANN is a complicated place, and so is the GNSO. But also there is actual hostility, and we have documentary evidence of that, which shouldn't occur in my view, and I would think that many, many people would agree with that. In order to improve your pool of volunteers, you need to celebrate people coming. You need to actually try and attract as many as you can and celebrate them when they arrive. That's my perspective anyway. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think I'm mindful of time, and that's fascinating and helpful input from both of you. Thank you very much. I'm personally looking forward to seeing the draft report. Can you remind us when we can expect to see that?
Jonathan, the initial text, working text, the work in progress, should be distributed today or tomorrow to the working party and will be on the wiki, so you could certainly take a look at that. It will be April 23rd when the report is released for public comment.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thanks again for giving us that update. Now, we've run up quite close to the top of the hour. We have two other items we were going to deal with, and that is to deal with the item 8, which is the potential CWG for use of auction proceeds. We agreed on the weekend that we would send a letter out on, I would send a letter out on behalf of the GNSO, looking for other SOs and ACs to join us in a CWG on this subject. So I don't think there's anything more to be done there, but I'll just pause for a moment in case there's any update or input from your discussions yesterday. Phil?
Yeah, yes, briefly. At the BC meeting yesterday, we devoted some time to this topic, and I would say two things. One, there was a general consensus that while we don't know what we think the funds should be used for, there was a consensus that they should not be just dumped into general revenues for ICANN and used for operating general operating purposes. There was also a strong feeling that the CWG, given the engagement of the community now, everyone so heavily involved in accountability and the transition, that we shouldn't rush into this. This is a very large jar, and there's about 35 million cookies in it right now, and there's going to be a lot more cookies before all the strings are delegated, and there's concern that if the CWG starts right now, the only people to actively engage in it will be those who want to get their hands in the cookie jar. So we think there should be some delay in moving forward with this. Thank you.
That's both very interesting points, and I mean, I'd provide two remarks. The first is, remind me your first one, your concern about moving now while we're busy, and the first point was?
The first point was a fairly strong consensus that the money shouldn't just shouldn't just be dumped.
So my understanding is
general operating revenues.
Yeah, that consensus, whilst important, is not necessary in the sense that the board's been very clear this is ring fenced money. So I hope that consensus isn't required, but the point taken. On the second, I think the challenge we've got is, and so it will be useful for others to think about this and perhaps provide input on list is by, there's a balance between doing something while we're all very busy, perhaps doing something more slowly whilst we're all very busy, or doing nothing, which risks the board taking the initiative themselves and saying, look, community doesn't seem to be able to do anything about this, and it's high time. So my temptation is that we start to do something, but don't rush it. But, you know, that feedback will be very useful if you can provide it. And I'll just hold off for maybe I'll put a 7-day timing on sending out a letter or something like that while we wait for further feedback. Any other thoughts or input there? James.
Thanks, Jonathan. James speaking. And yes, I'd like to see this kind of get rolling as well, the process, at least of the discussion. I know that both the registry stakeholder group and the registrar stakeholder group made comments to the board about in their discussions with the board about the potential for engaging some of these funds in the issue of and the challenge of universal acceptance and adoption of new GTLDs, which is symmetrical in some ways because that was the source of the windfall for ICANN, if you will, for the institution. So I look forward to kicking off those discussions, and I think that's something that the council can facilitate, and there's other groups I know that are starting those conversations as well.
Great. Thanks, James. I'm mindful we're at the top of the hour. We had another item, which is the CCNSO update, and Patrick Miles, unfortunately, I understand, has been taken ill. Thomas, as liaison to the CCNSO, are you in a position to make a couple of remarks as to the update from the CCNSO before we wrap up the meeting?
Yes, very brief. Patrick has sent a more detailed report to the council list, as I mentioned earlier. But at the moment in the CCNSO, the IANA stewardship transition is certainly a matter of superior interest. There are discussions on that one. One particular area of concern for them is how they ensure that the CCTLDs are brought on track, speaking about those CCTLD operators that are not members of the CCNSO. So they're talking about outreach in that regard, as well as how to find consensus on a proposal that might come in. So it's, there is discussion about procedural aspects to make sure that everything's possible to be finalized in time. They have discussions about the strategy and operating plan, and I think one point worthwhile highlighting for the council is that the CCNSO is quite disappointed with the KPIs, the key performance indicators, in the budget, so that the community is enabled to monitor and assess progress on an annual basis. At the moment, there are 20 KPIs in the document, and they're obviously asking for more. And I think that's something that's also good for us to take a look at. And final point that I'm going to make is the FOI, Frame of Interpretation, report that has been discussed in the GAC, and where there were some concerns by the GAC that caused quite some substantive discussion in the CCNSO, because the CCNSO was taken aback by the fact that points that the CCNSO thought the GAC had agreed to are now challenged, and that would be particularly with respect to RFC 1591, which could trump local laws in some cases, and the GAC is frowning upon that. So that's an unresolved issue, and I think I should leave it there and recommend the reading of the full document.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Now, just one final point on this topic before we move to any other business and towards closing the meeting. We missed meeting with the CCNSO at this meeting for logistical reasons. One proposal we have is that we meet, we hold an online meeting, a Adobe Connect room meeting together in relatively short order beyond this meeting. Can I get a show of hands if there's any support for that? Anyone who would be in support of that? All right, I'm not going to record that as a vote, but it seems like there's reasonable support for that. So it feels to me like, given that we're running a number of community working groups, of which the CCNSO is a co-chartering organization amongst others, plus the kind of issues that Thomas highlights, it feels to me like there's reason to do so, so it's useful to have your support for that. I'm going to move to any other business and call for any other points or items that need to be raised at this stage. All right, I'll highlight for you that we have a wrap-up meeting of the council tomorrow. I think that is, can someone remind me, I think it's around 1 p.m. tomorrow, is it? 12:30 p.m. tomorrow, and there will be lunch available, so we'll be serving lunch there, so we'll look forward to seeing you all at 12:30. Please do come. It's an important way of closing off the meeting. We'll make it as efficient as possible and, you know, wrap up all of the items that have been covered. Avri.
Avri speaking. It's listed as 12 on the schedule. Is it 12 or 12:30?
Glenn, can you confirm that, or anyone, or is anyone else able to confirm?
Yeah, the schedule definitely says 12, but
yeah,
if there's...
My diary says 12 as well. I've taken that from the schedule, so let's work at 12. Yeah,
12,
so
it's in Indiana.
So 12 to 1:30 in Indiana, and there'll be food served.
It's in Hallett.
Yeah, if you guys want to start at 12:30, that would be a good thing, because then we could make it to the THICWIS implementation review team meeting. Just saying.
I think we're going to have to stick with the schedule. I don't want to mess with the schedule, unfortunately. Otherwise, it just causes confusion. So we'll work to the schedule as set. Thank you very much. There was some good discussion on a number of topics. Thank you, all councillors, for participating. And thanks to everyone who's attended the meeting in the room and or come to speak up at the microphone. With that, we'll close today's GNSO Council meeting. Thank you.